Go ahead, you're in.
Good evening. This is Stick Martin. Here with commentary for the Black Samurai album.
Good evening.
Good evening. I can't read this copy. With me, as always, is Mr. Rich Resigno. He was...
Yeah.
Producer.
In the house, Big Rich.
Masterer.
Masturbator.
Masturbator and mixer, engineer of the entire record.
Mad scientist.
Mad scientist. Yeah. To my...
Tesla.
To my left, Mr. Little Danny Triber. Little Danny Triber's with us today.
Mr. Little Danny.
What is he, one of those little English schoolboy outfits?
Hello, this is Dan Triber.
What a place to be.
Get your paper. Get your paper, sir.
Would you like a moon pie?
Yeah. Oh, this commentary is off to a fantastic start. And also with us today is Mr. Adam Z, a.k.a. Adam Zielinski. Adam Zielinski.
All right. And we're talking about a record here.
We're talking about the Black Samurai record. This one is totally weird because basically before we get too into it, just like we put out the first record and everything went super smooth. And then I wanted to do a second record. So Crafty Dam is going to pay for half of it. And this guy, Mike, was going to pay for the other
half. Mike. Oh, yeah.
And just like Mike just pretty much bitched out of the whole deal like without telling me. So it left me with money for half an album. So we recorded half an album and just like hopefully we're going to finish it. And it took us probably almost 5 years before we actually finished it. So it was some of it was recorded.
But there was no work on it for the four years in between.
I think Rich
we
transferred
just jumped
it.
Back on it.
Rich, it was funny because the studio was totally different when we started.
Was it?
Yeah, we were ADAT when we started.
Oh man,
we were still on the ADAT machines when we started, and then by the time we finished it, it was the total digital
HD
studio.
The
HD 24. So it's definitely. You can hear like my vocal sounds high in some songs and lower in some songs. It's definitely a weird album, but I don't know. I'm so happy that we finished it. I was kind of like just crestfallen to have a halfway done album. And the only song I really ever played off it once like the production on it stopped was Don't Be a Dick. Just because, I don't know, made me sad, you know. But I'm not sad anymore. It's out and it's...
Happy guy.
It's all right. So let's start it
up. I was getting a little dark there, my friend.
It was. It got a little dark.
And speaking of Black Samurai...
All right, let's, Don't Get Caught is the first track. I didn't plan on this being the first track, but it just...
I really wanted it.
Yeah.
The way it started.
Sean Battle on drums. Again, he did drums on the Officer Murphy record.
It sounded really good on this.
Yeah. I'd like the drums sound better on this record,
really
definitely.
Fun.
Probably just the mixing it in, on the new system, I'm sure, helped a ton. And it's a matter of recording technology and stuff too. Yeah. But
was this mixed in Cubase or was this mixed?
This was
on
mixed
the
in Cubase.
Oh, what?
We finished it in Cubase. You had to dump it in. I like this too. I think there's like a whisper vocal track through the verses that you can just like barely hear.
I'm playing that cool synth part on top.
Yeah.
That's very. Rich. That's totally 80s English synth pop.
I think, Rich, you do all the keys on both records, don't you?
I guess so.
I don't think we had any other key players. Yeah, just the drums, Sean Battle on drums. I always love this drum beat. Jim LaMonaco does this entire record on bass.
I bought a fretted bass for him, an Ibanez bass. I planned on returning it after he used it for your record, but he slapped it so much that he made a mark on it and I couldn't. You know what? And thank God he did because I've used it on 100 records.
Yeah. Well, you've used Jim quite a bit since then, right?
Huh?
Jim's been here a couple of times since these first couple records.
He did play for a couple other little things after that. I've seen him.
Jim was in this band Yoke, like one of my musical heroes when I was younger.
Yoke was great. We all go to New Cheers in Binghamton.
Yeah. We all loved Yoke a lot.
They let me in there when I was 15 and let me drink.
He was an awesome bass player. Wow. He learned these songs in like 2 seconds.
No, he
brought
was...
a lot to it. Had great ideas and laid his parts down in a blink as soon as he decided what he was going to play.
What was cool too
was
when
pleasure working with him. Really talented guy.
When Jim and Rich would talk about a part, I knew a little bit more about what was going on by this. I definitely learned a lot on Officer Murphy. But they get talking back and forth. And Jim would kind of be playing something, and Rich would say, like, more McCartney. And Jim just, like, knew the style. Like, anything that you could throw at him, like, he'd be like, okay, I know what you mean. And he just, like, shifted a little bit, like, just crazy, crazy gifted.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, a fun thing about doing a record like this was, you came in mostly with, like, not any real preconceived notions of how you were going to really produce each song. We just kind of
The arrangements were always open. I think that was probably why it was so fun.
The fun part of the fun for me is I get to work with each guy individually, working out his part. So first, I'm usually listening to Chris on guitar, and then I work out the drum part with Sean to match what he's doing on guitar and to back up his vocals.
And then everything was way open ended. You know,
we tried some stuff that didn't work, but we tried most of the stuff we tried. We really liked.
Yeah, I think I definitely like this album more than Officer Murphy. I like my writing more. I like the overall sound of the record more. I think there's good songs on both, but just the harder songs are harder on this. The country songs are more country. I felt like we went a little bit further. You know, Officer Murphy kind of has a more unified sound, but, you know, I mean, that's why all these records are weird, just because of it's like you got the country, the hip hop, and then the occasional kind of rocky tune, you know? I think they flow decently, though. You know what I mean? A little jagged at some points.
Totally going for a Thomas Dolby vibe on that keyboard track.
That's a great key track. Do you like the key track? The meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because when we were doing it, Rich was like, you know, Crap the Dance's not going to like that keyboard track. Because at the time, he was like so into punk. Like, keyboards are lame. Boo. Probably. I remember that.
That's funny.
Crab the Dam will sometimes shoot down ideas. He's not. If you really fight for it, he'll usually let you get away with it. But he can make us take out some of the gun noises in Roulette Blues.
I'm glad.
You're totally right.
It was because of you.
Yeah, I
still have the original
with those like machine guns,
machine guns, and it was one of the few.
I love this scream here. This is. 10 plus years of Marlboro Lights right here, and you can sound just like
half of those are probably Reds.
Yeah. Oh, Sean Van Lishnen? How do you say his last name?
That doesn't sound like a real last name.
No.
Vachlishnen?
Vachlishnen.
Vachlishnen. Incredible.
He's down in Miami now. He's getting his PhD in jazz saxophone.
Yeah, I just had he put together his portfolio or somebody.
He's awesome.
I had to send him copies of both this. Great.
You want to know what I told him for that solo? Because I wanted it to be like dissonant and crazy. I told him to picture for that solo. I said, I want you to picture a big steep hill and there's a baby carriage. Baby carriage is going down. It's got one loose wheel and there's traffic coming from both sides. That's how I want this solo to go. Look out! He totally went in there. Oh, yeah. Totally got it. He nailed it like that.
I think by the time we had levels, we were just taken with him. Like, I think by the time the mic was set.
Yeah, Matt Vasilisian is his name.
Matt.
Matt
Vasilisian. Okay, that sounds
incredibly talented.
This song,
I love. The best saxophone player I ever worked with. I worked with some pretty cool dudes.
Brooke Primore.
Yeah, drag this up a little bit. This has got Brooke Primore singing guests on it. Yeah, you sing to everything. My door across the congregation of Frost, you know, it's all fucked up. Cook burning, no one need for money, and I heard it on the news that they just taxed us. I really like having Brooke.
Yeah, it was cool.
On there. I always like this tune. I want to do this live, but, last couple drummers I have just, I don't know, weren't badass enough, I guess. Jesus Christ, oh yes, it was for the IRS, paying income tax in your Sunday. I wrote this in a shack. Most of these songs, as crazy as Officer Murphy is like 15 to 21, but then I lived in the shack for like a year, year and a half, with like no phone, no TV. At some points I had a TV, but there was no cable. And, the same three VHF tapes hanging around.
From the back side, you got a bunch.
Yeah, I did have but I don't think I have VCR the whole time. Like, it was like a shitty living situation, but I seriously wrote like 25 songs that year. So there's, I don't know, maybe Slide was a solo. First Slide was a solo.
And I don't do anything until the solo. This is all PD up until the solo.
I'm like chilling in gaps throughout the album.
I am the world's, probably the world's greatest slime as a player. I'd be willing to bet. I've never seen
Who's
better.
Who's playing the solo here?
That's me.
Nice.
My Dave Navarro. Adam Z. Great solo.
Yeah. That's my Jane's Addiction solo.
That's great.
Do you remember how I got the guitar tone? Was that live? Was it through the computer?
I just stood here right next to you, and that was just wah-wah.
So I was using like a virtual amp for the...
Yeah, like not the pod. You had a bass pod when I was doing bass, but not on this one.
This song is actually from Silo-Fi. I wrote this like
first two
six song story. Yeah, so I was gonna get caught.
And Midnight Oil.
Midnight Oil. Yeah, most of Silo, a lot of Silo-Fi's on there. Probably half.
We should do it one day. Definitely do it one day.
Yeah, I just like. I sometimes regret not recording Silo-Fi as like the six song thing, but we were just like trying to put the best songs that I had written on albums. You know, I don't know. You know, like record it live or something.
Oh, this is the one where me and Petey.
Yeah, this is. a lot of Freaky Pete's lead playing, and then Adam as well. There's a solo that starts Petey and ends Adam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's great is we couldn't get Petey back in here for the second recording session, so all of his lead were just like laid down the day that I did my scratch vocal tracks. Like he was just busting them out. Like we had been playing together for a while, so he had some idea about what was going on. But I mean, that's literally all one take, like first take lead stuff. Petey is one of the most unique guitar players I ever played with. It's such a strange style, and I always felt bad because he whatever songs I'd write, he could throw shit on top of it so easy. But when he wrote songs, I had a hard time even just like learning the fucking chord progressions. Yeah, you know, all right, intro six. And I'm like, seriously, like motherfucker, intro six. Like, this song isn't even like up and running yet. You know, everything was just so. I mean, great songwriter. He was definitely a more experienced musician than I was at the time.
He did a Nintendo version of the song.
Yeah, he did the Nintendo remix.
I wonder if Petey still has the other book. The Black Samurai. I still have Kung Fu Avenger.
Oh, yeah. The whole Black Samurai. The whole reason I wrote this riff, I kind of want to write this like hard rock riff. And I was just like screaming random syllables when I was writing it. And then I looked down and I had this book called Black Samurai. It's like this shitty pulp novel from probably the 70s. It's like a black team with a giant afro, like
Robert Sand.
Yeah, it was a shitty book too. It was
three parts.
It was awful.
I still have one of the parts.
You have what part?
Kung Fu Avengers. Yeah,
that was part two.
Three, I think.
Hey, I don't know if I had part two. I think I was missing one of them.
I thought you gave the other one to Petey.
I actually do drop the N-word in this song.
And I think it made me incredibly uncomfortable.
Dan was like, he. But it was a quote from the book, so like, you know, whatever. If you're offended, I'm a little bit sorry. Yeah. I had so much fun. There's a video of this of me taking this on the website. What was funny is I like to dance around sometimes when I'm singing, and so I'd have the headphones on and they'd keep coming off. So we had that like giant wool hat that I just like put the headphones on and then put the wool hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it made me sweat, so I took my pants off at some point. This is me and Rich.
Oh yeah.
Give that some juice.
Yeah, this stars Petey right here.
Yeah.
That fucking Kung Fu fight shit was hilarious. It's hard to not laugh when you're doing that.
That's where you come in.
It switches right here.
Yeah. It's weird. It's not. I mean, there's definitely two different styles, but it was
it makes
fine.
Sense.
It
sense.
Worked.
Awesome.
still you right there. Right?
Yeah, you got to shout.
This is a cool record to talk about just because there's a lot of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a recorded, it's half, weird half was recorded, two parts recorded 5 years apart.
Great. I think that held
great
up.
Great really drums well. At the end there. Yeah, Black Samurai. But so far, everything. I still love this song, too.
I still listen to this album quite a bit.
Yeah, this, though, some people, I think, don't like the flute part in the middle. They think it's kind of pussified, but I liked it. I always liked that stuff.
It's your only song about God.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely my song about religion.
Oh, I like this song. Forgot.
I like that. The organ part there
on
too.
Hammond on that.
Yeah, that's
imitation Hammond.
Voice of God, right?
Yeah. Really simple, kind of bouncy pop tune, but there's that weird walk down. I don't know if it's an odd timing or whatever, but I like the lyrics in the chorus.
Well, it's like it's super upbeat but not cheesy. That's why I really like it.
This was written in the shack too.
I know all of these songs because you wrote these all on.
Yeah, me and Adam were
jamming. I was just coming over,
definitely jamming all the time. Adam would come over on his lunch break for work and not come back for 3 hours. Yeah, back to washing boats.
I talked myself out of getting fired. I was like, come on, I'll work hard. And I did it, but I'm just like, oh, okay. I long lunch breaks. The pimp light jams are.
Pimp light jams. Pimp Light Jams were just me and Adam. Sometimes other people just eat psychedelics and lock ourselves in a room for like 8 or 10 hours. Yeah, we lock ourselves in the shack and turn on this red light and just play guitar for like 10 hours straight. It's like smoke cigarettes once in a while or whatever, but essentially just jamming for 10 hours, probably more at some points.
Till
that's like that's really like, this flute solo right here.
Who did this? Is that Matt too? I think this was Matt too, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, I forgot that I hated it.
Very tasteful. Very tasteful.
That's my thing.
I just kind of had like an islandy flair, kind of, and the flute pushed it, you know? Like, I love that. This.
It's like a Turtles tune.
The walk down, yeah, it is kind of Turtlesy.
Yeah.
I actually, I do imagine being very happy together.
Mm-hmm.
Great last chorus. Yeah, this is definitely the Radio Gaga clap along.
Light your lighters. Well, your virtual lighters now. Light your eye lighters.
The lights come up.
Your eye glow stick. Cracking and shaking. You got a glow stick.
I have some friends in Florida too that told me this was their favorite thing I ever wrote. So that's always like somebody like specifically calls something out and kind of sticks with me. I really like this tune. Officer Murphy, I love. It's my first record. I didn't, I still dig it. It's just, I'm happier with the newer songwriting for the most part. And, this song, I don't know. This song wasn't my favorite on the record, but I liked it. I don't know. I think it was one where like I really thought the lyrics were clever at one point. And so, I still like some of it, but I don't know. Some horn solo. I think it was like a lot of like sexual bravado in this song. I think I met this like crazy hippie girl at a festival and just.
Oh, wait, I don't remember her.
Yeah.
Oh, what's with?
I got a.
What was her?
It's probably better not to say that.
Yes. But there was a group of them. There was a group of them.
Yeah, this crazy group of hippies.
Oh, yeah.
Broke down at the Woodstock Festival. And so my mom and I invited them back to her house. And there was like 15 of them came back to our house and just like crashed there. Because they go, we're just going to fix the van. We'll leave in the morning. And it took like 3 or 4 days to fix the van. So it was ridiculous. But it was awesome that my mom did stuff like that. Like, that's really cool.
Right. It's incredibly nice.
No, it's weird too. My old bass player from New York, John Greenbaum, who samples Norman Greenbaum, wrote Spirit of the Sky, I think, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, anyway. This was his favorite song I'd ever done. I like the chorus. I don't know. Maybe it's the flow of the rap. God,
it's like your old style.
Yeah.
That's really,
I like the newer hip hop, especially more than my old style. But Boogie Prophet is me and Freaky Pete. That was the name of the band that we had together, the Boogie Prophets.
This is a duo. It was very Pete on electric and you on acoustic.
It was
kind of a trip.
It was all right. Cafe de la
Soul. You both stood, which is great.
Yeah,
you both stood. Two standing guitarists are just kind of very dominant.
That makes me sick. I like the chorus. I really like the bridge. I think I like the outro is the best part of the song.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Rich? You're clamming up here.
Oh, sorry. Lost it for a moment there. Was in another place.
No,
I haven't heard this album in a while, so it's very refreshing to hear it after a long time.
That's honestly, guys, that's the funnest part for me is, like, I don't think the four of us would have, you know, we made Officer Murphy 10 years ago, you know, we made Black Samurai, what, like, even finished it 3-4 years ago. So
it doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
You know, it's just, you know, I don't know if we'd ever have another opportunity to re-listen to it, you know, like.
It's crazy, it was like 26
albums
ago.
Mine's what? My latest one's 35?
It's 36.
36. So I have 3 and 36.
Wasn't this 20?
Oh, no, the Officer Reboot was just 20.
Yeah, this was 11.
Wow.
Better to be, baby. So you got 1, 11.
That's Crafty Dan bragging about his record company. Great nice. Solo here. This is you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you. It's definitely that's definitely Adam Z, ladies and gentlemen.
The little skitsy blips. Skitsy blips.
I like your lead so much more on this record than on your record. I felt like it was later and you just had a more developed your own voice as a lead player.
In due time was.
What song did Chris steal from you? It was like the
Roulette Blues. Roulette Blues from Adam.
I played the exact same solo.
It was the same key as well.
This song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles. Now Adam Zielinski stealing it back. Yeah, the rock star at the coffee bar is definitely like talking about Uptown Espresso Bar.
Right.
Or about Cafe del Sol.
A loser in the pouring rain. The girls would cheer for me, but not have sex with me, you know? This part, I always love this tune. Good harmony part. I always have fun
with it. Nice ride on this.
What could he sound like a church boy?
I think this is me, though. I don't think Petey really did much harmony on this, because we usually do that late.
I don't think he did much of any.
No.
He just had the rough.
It's weird, so, I mean, there's still, Petey is still a ton of the electric rhythm, and
luckily, what he did when you did the vocals was great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a precision, you know, player, too.
He wasn't making it up, you know.
Oh, he had those parts.
No, but I was just, you know, I was kind of like sloppy and a little bit more punkish. Pete was just, you know, dead on. Don't be a dick. Here it is. Mike Kuhn back on banjo again.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember how difficult it was to get to find the right drum thing for this? I was so. Sean is not a bluegrass guy at all, you know?
I love this. I feel like the chorus harmonies are ridiculous, because I love. Reminds me of like a mid '80s country record, you know. Great leads in this.
Right.
That's definitely.
I have this thing where I just kind of doodle around on the verses.
Yeah, but it's.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of what I did.
No, yeah, well, but it's cool, but it's not, it's like not distracting from the main melody.
It's in the background, a little fluttering.
I can't, I have a hard time doing that.
That's another one of the crowd. You know, you get everybody standing around the mic. I love that. Chris Buswinski's in there.
I was in there. I never made Gang Day.
Are you in though? Are you sick?
I never made Gang Day, ever.
No, ever?
Never made a Gang Day.
Not you're my own man there. Rich is definitely in there.
Doing a lot of harmonies and then Gang Day. It's fun.
I have, it was weird too. We started writing this song. I wrote the song back in the shack, like
for Cora.
Yeah, for my niece. It was supposed to be like a kid's song about being a good person, but it just turned.
Has the reference to Uncle Stickman.
Yeah.
It wasn't some sort of like, you know, hey, come see your Uncle Stickman type thing.
No, it was, it just went wrong at some point. But, it's live now before that last chorus. We did the Want to Get Down with Gwen Stefani. And it was just something I threw in one night. We were playing a bar and Gwen Stefani was on TV and just threw it in. And like people literally bitched at me that when this album came out after the fact, that wasn't in the song. Like it was, you know, it wasn't part of the arrangement. It's lame. It shouldn't be part of the arrangement now, but it's right. Just like, it just caught on. Great solo.
Well, that's one of my favorites.
I talked right through it. I talked all over that solo. Rewind it. There's a country breakdown.
We can. There's always the non-commentary copy.
That's true. Well.
A lot of good stories for this record.
I don't know if it's for some reason when we did the Gang Day, Ms. Minsky just kept yelling like, "Not on my watch! Not on my watch!" Like. I like this. I know it's goofy. The references are outdated. Marilyn Manson's.
But this, it's almost been so far. It's fantastic. Yeah.
No, we're not. Then there's
Hanson have families now.
That's true.
They still get $25,000 a night to play.
Really?
Yeah. I know the owner.
Space Station Integration was a jam band.
They sell
in
out
college.
The day the tickets go on sale, they sold out.
I like this one because this is probably the sloppiest harmony we ever recorded, and we wanted it. I mean, it's not terrible, but we definitely wanted like a real loose. You know, a real loose. I mean, normally we spend so long on the harmonies, but this was probably just a take or two.
This has to have a certain kind of moonshine in it.
Nice. There's the gunshot. There used to be like 40 of them.
Well, that was the second one.
I had so much fun putting that in there.
And Dan didn't like him, and me and Rich liked him, and it was like a compromise where we got.
That's a nice lyric right there. I don't hear that a lot.
I forgot about the slide.
This is Spike Jones here, guys. This is classic, man. Come on.
The first time I ever played this,
Spike Jones ever used that effect in that way.
Acoustic demo.
In reference to that.
When I got to the Fuck Elton John at the ass part, I'm just looking out into the control room, and Rich is just like laughing his balls off, stomping around.
I think he played it back like 3 times in a row.
Good stuff.
And this was the right set, Fred was outdated even before. That's the best part about it.
People that go to bars now don't even know who Right Said Fred are.
I know.
Wow.
Sid Barrett.
This was a machine gun one.
It's great solo.
I had my guild for this, yeah.
Great solo.
It's like a walk in the park.
Take it for a walk, Adam Z. Don't mind if I do, stick man.
A little breezy, yeah.
Get me some cornmeal biscuits after I finish.
Neighborhood of G.
You're right.
See what I say? See what I say with that harmony?
Nice.
I forgot about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, you don't do much harmony on this, right?
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that we didn't want to.
I'm still working on my voice.
Well, but I always felt like when the second double fixing, like me and you had like a really good bad harmony. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
yeah.
It just, I don't know. Like we went flat at the same notes or something, you know?
We could, we'd scoop at the same time.
Nice.
Never.
Can still hit it. I still got it, Crafty Man. I like that. That is my totally racist impression of an old black blues man. Them there is the blue-lip blues. Cornbread.
Back to the shack.
Back to the shack? I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I was pretentious when I wrote the chord progression of this song. I don't like playing it much anymore. Listen to it. I like the song. And it's like playing. I'm just like, switch into an F real quick. It's totally real cool.
You start talking about like if you can drive the shack around and stuff.
Yeah, this thing where I came home and I accidentally put my car key. I lived in the shack. That's where I wrote all these songs. And I came home and I put my car key in the door of the shack. And when I turned it, the whole damn shack started up. So I just started driving around the neighborhood in it, you know? Like, just some bullshit story. I don't know.
Well, it was just cool because it was called The Shack. If it was like the house by your mom's, it wouldn't...
Absolutely. I never visited The Shack. I was never privy to The Shack.
It's still there, I think. I think she still stands.
Yeah. It did not sound like it was awesome.
Rich thought there was like chickens outside.
I thought there were chickens inside, actually.
It had this giant refrigerator in it, and the only thing in it was condiments.
It was the chicken burritos from Walmart.
Yeah, dude. I ate chicken burritos. Nice. They were like 4 for $1 or something.
Yeah, gravy and
chicken, like the chicken gravy from lunchtime. You know, let's go only in burrito form.
Story just popped in my head randomly. It really has nothing. What is it? At the shack, and you know, when it used to be when everyone coming, hanging
out.
It's
about
there.
The shack. So it's gonna be a shack story, I think.
Yeah, but
shack away.
You know, I was the first car parked there, and then like three other cars showed up since I got there, and two of them they're like someone was behind me. I don't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Ellen or somebody,
right.
But she wasn't around or sleeping or something. So like 6 of us took the car behind me and we're like,
We moved it.
Like 6 of us, we like kept on just like bobbing it up and down and picking it up.
Yeah, when it would jump, we just pushed it like this.
We moved the car.
That's an interesting way to move a car. I never heard of that.
Just so I could get out.
You can get it bouncing enough on the shocks to move it.
We did.
Dang.
Well, I mean, it was probably a small car. Yeah. You know, but. Still,
it's 2,000 pounds. 4,000 pounds.
For some reason, and this is probably because I was like, I was kind of depressed in the shack. It was like all the girls in town already knew I was a bad kisser. So no, like Honesdale, I was just like, I had dropped out of college and I wasn't working. I had no money. I like barely ate food. I just lived in this fucking shack and recorded once in a while and wrote songs. I never liked this bridge. I felt like I was just like a lazy chord progression. The solo's not bad out of it, but and the harmonies aren't bad. I just felt like when I wrote it, I was like, I need a bridge, blah, 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 you know, just. It's a good solo.
It's very melodic.
Bit of Diener in there, you know.
We all everyone's got a little
Diener. Hell yeah!
I said I want to charter a ship with him. Like as he's the captain, he's an official captain. But I mean, like he's gonna know I'm there for the wrong reason.
Yeah, call you out on it.
Yeah. Like Diener, can you tie this hook for me?
Real quick, it's my friend Brun's favorite tune, and he always wants you to play it, and I never do. I'm sorry. But at least, hey, get a shout out on the commentary. Yeah. Nice. I think we always do leads pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
I love laying leads. It's just even if it's not me playing the guitar, it's just always such a fun part. This song it's called Midnight Oil. I feel like this is some of the best stuff I've ever wrote. I feel like it sucks when I play out live. This is the type of stuff that dies. We're like, I'm going outside to smoke a cigarette, man. But
this is a real good tune. One of your best.
The production on it is perfect too. This is just like the exact tone I heard in my head for it. You know, it's got to be you too on the keys, Rich.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely playing organ on that. Yeah, it's nice.
That's Petey on the verse too.
Yeah.
Oh, that arpeggio.
You know, almost like a late 70s rocking ballad, you know? Like it'd be on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack, you know? Like, especially those verses. I like the chord progression of the chorus, too. I just had a good time.
Good bridge, good bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Lost and Lovely. This is about Kelly Christman. It was like a year and a half after the fact, and I was still crazy in love with that girl.
She left me in Delaware once.
Yeah, sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. Is that you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great solo.
That's funny. One of the things I'm remembering about this is like when you cut the scratch tracks, and then you came back 5 years later, your voice was a completely different voice. Like it wouldn't even sound remotely. It had that road weary little edge on it. That, you know,
a lot of broke some hearts, had mine broken a few times.
Some late nights, few drink
whiskey, too many to
drink, and you know, pack of cigarettes. And disappointment.
Disappointment, word up. Definitely.
A little more, a little more wear and tear.
Now Rich is getting dark.
Got some miles on there.
I don't know. This is one
that was right before you stabbed all those people.
Oof, that was a rough time.
Yeah.
I had blood all over my clothes for days.
The day you massacred that small family was. I'd been building up here for so long.
Oh, it took you an hour and a half to get into it, Rich.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hilarious. Hilarious. It's great, Rich. I don't know. I'm very happy with everything. Just like I said, that bridge in the last tune, I just felt like I was lazy when I heard the chords.
Once again, Sean Battle just killing the drums on.
Yeah, Sean Battle drums on all the all tracks on.
He was so hungry to record this album, he could not wait to record this record.
He had a good time. That's big, you know. Like everybody getting along in the studio is huge.
Believe me, I was so disappointed when we didn't finish it. You know?
You generated a lot of material really quick, you know, after
I was the shack. I gotta like smash my TV and throw my cell phone away and disconnect my computer and write 25 songs.
It's really, you know, you gotta live life to do that.
You know, it's just, yeah, maybe it's like living a cabin for the summer, you know, just like, write again.
Out on the bayou. It's tough to do anymore.
Love the ending. What's next? Great, great tune. One of my favorites ever that we recorded. Intercourse PA.
No,
this is the longest
thing
we've
ever done. When you brought this song out, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, no, that's the name of the song.
Oh, a special guest vocal.
Yeah.
On the end of this.
Oh, this is the one with Michelle?
Yeah, with Rich's daughter, Michelle Resigna.
Wow.
She killed it too.
How old was she when she did that?
Too young to be singing on a song like called Intercourse PA.
Was she 15 or 16? She must have been young, man.
Matt is on this too. Starts dropping the sax. Petey actually wrote, I think I wrote all the lyrics. I think he wrote some of the chord progressions with me. I think he's credited as part of the writers on this. It's a great track. You know, we never really, both albums, we even Thrilla, we keep all the solos and stuff relatively short. And this is like the one song where there's just this ride out where everybody just kind of jamming. I'm kind of scat singing.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just a really, really good song.
That was a really early take of the scat singing too. You just nailed it.
It was fun for everybody. Everybody that laid down their bar just like looked like a fucking blast, you know. I always really like this song. This is, I don't know. I mean, we're probably 90% through the album. This holds up pretty nice, I think. You know. Intercourse is a town
right by Blue Balls and Jericho.
Yeah, near Kutztown, where I went to college, and it's just like, I'm immature, and I think towns called Intercourse are hilarious enough to just base a song on. It's actually a thinly veiled
reference to sexual intercourse for me. That's, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if his time.
You've never told me. You've never told me what
that's, you know. This was like my sex album, I think. I don't know.
Like the porn saxophone.
Yeah, it is kind of porny.
Totally. You're going for it.
It's just, there's a part coming up where the song just kind of stops. And there's this weird break, and like, we didn't like even count it. I don't even know how many beats it is or anything. Like, it was just like this random break. We didn't want it to sound counted. And Rich said it was like when you're having sexual relations with a girl, and your dick comes out of her, and there's that like 5 second hesitation.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
That sounds like something I might say.
I'm glad I had a
damn. Well, just a dirty.
Glad I had a mature male role model when I was in here at 20, Rich.
Try to provide that whenever I can for the youngins.
So that's crazy. There's a solo in the middle, and then like a long solo ride out. That's fantastic. I don't know. It was just so much fun. We never did a song. We totally have to do like a jerk off, like classic rock album where there's like, you know, minute and a half long solos in every song, and you know, there it is. I think that was it.
This was just a jam out, man. Because live, you jam out all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. People don't jam out on albums. I mean, sometimes they do.
You know, I felt like, you know, none of this stuff... Well, this album, I think because of PD's takes, has a more live feel to it. You know, he was a really tight player, but it wasn't that take after take after take that was, you know, 100% perfect.
Step, yeah.
You know, there's some blue notes and stuff in there, you know? And I think that kept it... kind of gave it more of a live feel, and this track especially, you know, for doing track at a time, this to me really sounds like a band grooving, you know, yeah. Like, I think part of it is because Sean was great, and then Jim could just lay down a bass bar that was just so tight, you know, like, I guess Jim can make it sound like a live rhythm section, basically, you know? Yeah.
Nice, love the way that cuts back in. So funky.
That happened just a ton of times too. Michelle sounded great. Just so, I don't know. This is one of my favorite recordings too. You like this one?
Yeah, it was
just fun. Yeah, I mean, it's long, but it's the one long song, you know?
But it totally does what it's supposed to on the album. But when it comes on, you're just gonna hang out, you know?
No, yeah. Great. I love that. Everybody too, just... It was weird. Everybody, like, gave each other some room. I don't remember I think I probably laid my scat down first. Then Matt did the horn, I think. And then Michelle laid the vocal, I think. But everybody was like pretty economic. I mean, we started all getting crazier by the end, but like everybody kind of left room for everybody, you know?
That did funky.
Great mix too, Rich.
Nice.
That's the only time you can really put that in a song.
Jungle Boogie. Always wanted to do that.
Just needs cowbell.
No.
Nice.
Great run right there. Yep.
You got just what I need.
I love that ending too. It's a little
nice.
Weird,
by the way, that guitar.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, Dumb Luck.
Oh, and then this.
Captain McNeil.
The Tale of Captain McNeil.
Oh, I couldn't wait to do the sound effects for this.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite recordings of all time. It just the exact feel I wanted. I'm definitely going for the sea shanty. Sean's drums rock it out enough so it doesn't get boring. But there's, you know, like this slow intro here. You know? It's a longer song.
I'm playing the accordion.
Yeah, yeah. Or the, I don't think, what's the smaller accordion? It's like a squeeze box.
You know, it's a keyboard accordion.
No, yeah, but I mean, I think it's a squeeze box.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Great lick there. That lick's a big part of that whole song.
Kind of like, it was kind of implied in the chord change to me.
This is, I wrote this song in the shack, and, Canyon De La Cave, my old bass player, the song was just totally lame. It was, like a patch on an eye and a peg for a leg. It was just like, it was really bad. And, no, that's another song. But Canyon was just always this really creative, kind of short story type of guy. So we came up with a story together. And so it's weird. He actually helped me with Stone Cold Stanley too. Where like he hammered out the plot, and then I kind of like made the words all rhyme together. Like, yeah, and he did it on this too. And this is the last song. I love this. It was definitely the song to end on. The girl in the song is Shannon, named after my little sister. She's my daughter in the song.
It's a really well-written song, Chris.
We were working on Officer Murphy when I wrote it. It was like in between recording sessions. I was home for a few weeks. Remember that? I don't know.
First time I heard it, I loved it. I knew it was going to sound just like this.
You know, slowly builds up and builds up.
And it's another ballad talk. Right?
Yeah, you know, there's...
It's 6/8,
yeah,
right?
A handful of 6/8 tunes. I was going to say that. A lot of these 6/8s don't hear a ton anymore. You burned down my village, you killed all my family and friends.
And I sing this song for you. The drummers would rather play 4/4 than 6/8 anything.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I don't know. I remember I worked really, really hard on it with Kenyon. And,
you worked really hard on the drum track.
Just that little string bend is rich on the Strat, I think.
Really? I heard you ever doing that.
Yeah, you were trying to get me to do it, but I couldn't do it. You were like, just give me that damn guitar. And you like did it like the first time. Squeeze box. I like the way I did this. I like the vocal tone I got there. It's really a sad story. The pirate comes and kills his whole town and kidnaps his daughter. And it's like 10 years later, he finally is able to track him down.
Everybody's playing so passionately on that, you know, to hear it. It's so funny.
I think there's like 20 seconds of C noise.
Yeah, it just kind of rides out with that. Like it.
Well.
Tasteful.
I think that's it. I think that, right? That's it. That's the last track. That is Black Samurai. Everybody, thank you again for downloading the commentary and taking a listen one more time. I'm Chris Martin.
I'm Dan Triber.
Crafty Dan Triber.
Rich Resigno in the house.
Rich Resigno.
Mountainside Studio. Adam Z.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.